We now continue this conversation about the Obama effect on education. We have Ronald Ferguson, an economist and a senior research associate at the Malcolm Wiener Center for Social Policy. He's also director of the Achievement Gap Initiative at Harvard University. And Jane Waldfogel, a professor of social and public affairs at Columbia University. She co-edited the book Steady Gains and Stalled Progress, Inequality and the Black-White Test Score Gap. Both of you, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Jane, did I pronounce your name correctly?
It's very close. Waldfogel.
Waldfogel. Okay, let's start with you. You just heard Ray Friedman talk about his studies. Is that surprising to you? Are you supportive of it, or do you have questions about the validity of it?
I think the results are very heartening, and they're certainly consistent with earlier research on this phenomenon of stereotype threat and test anxiety. So I think the results make a lot of sense. The only thing I would add to that is that it's going to take more than improvements in confidence. So as he was pointing out, this kind of phenomenon will not help students who are not otherwise equally prepared. So there are a lot of other things we have to do to close the test score gap.
So if the students are not otherwise equally prepared, Ronald, then I don't understand what the significance of this would be. It would seem that the preparation would be the thing that would make the difference.
No, I mean, there's a frame of mind, there's a state of mind that we have when we go into a situation where we're going to be measured and tested, particularly if our performance is going to be visible to other people. And I think to the degree that there is an Obama effect in this context, and I'm not sure there is such an effect, but if there is one, the source of it would be the absence now of the feeling that people are assuming that you're going to do less well just because you're black. I mean, the stereotype anxiety phenomenon has to do with not wanting to confirm a negative stereotype. And to the degree that the election has removed some of the negative stereotype associated with being black, black folks have less reason to be anxious, to feel anxiety when they go into situations where they might otherwise be negatively stereotyped.
And so then they would perform better on a test, presumably because of that.
Yes, more of the skills they already have will express themselves.
Now, Jane, your work is focused on social economic inequalities that exacerbate disparities in school. Give us a sense of the lay of the land. How big is this gap in education?
Well, I recently completed a project for the Russell Sage Foundation, which actually Ron Ferguson was a part of as well. We were very happy to have him on board. And what we did was look at the trends in black-white test score gaps over the last 30 or 40 years. And we were originally interested in looking at this because after an initial period back in the 70s and 80s when the black-white test score gap had closed considerably, there was then a period of stalled progress. And it looked like there was no further movement in closing the black-white test score gap in the late 80s and into the 90s. And it's only in the most recent period, the test score period between 99 and 2004, that we see some closing of the black-white test score gap again.
But so not this for is the older teenagers.
Pardon me?
I said, but mainly for the younger students.
Mainly for the younger students,
right.
Yes.
Now, so much of your work, Ronald, looks at the African-American cultural aspect to all of this. How much does the issue of racial inequality in education lay squarely, in your view, in the hands of African-Americans themselves?
I think we can – the evidence is accumulating that the achievement gap is present by the first day of kindergarten and that it's due in many ways to – the experiences that children have between the ages of 1 and 5. And many of those experiences are experiences they have at home in the family. And so to my way of thinking, there's great progress to be made in sharing with parents ideas about ways that they can interact with their children to prepare them to enter school more ready for school. At the same time, I'm not at all backing off of the idea that schools could also be much more effective. And so I think we need to work on parenting, not only early childhood parenting, but all the way through school. We need to work on the quality of instruction that students receive. We need to work on youth culture. We need to work on the availability of out of school time supports. and we need to try to cultivate leadership at the community level to try to keep the pressure on to get all of these changes made.
Well, you know, Jane, language skills, a big part of a child's scholastic well-being. Let's talk briefly about that and how it relates to the gap between black and white, and whether or not President Obama, who has been described, you know, many times, and rightfully so, as a very eloquent speaker and communicator, could his presence in that regard have an impact on the way black kids communicate?
That's a good question, and I'm sure that is an aspect of the way in which he's going to be a role model. I think the other way, you know, very concretely, that President Obama is going to help out is he's proposing an unprecedented expansion in funding for preschool programs. He's proposing to quadruple the number of children who are served by the Early Head Start program. This is the highest quality program we have for low-income children age 0 to 3. He's proposing to expand funding for Head Start and universal pre-kindergarten. Actually, the single biggest item in the economic stimulus program is funding for education, including some funding for early education.
Well, you know, the stimulus package, I was going to go to that next, actually, to talk about the president's policies with regard to education. And as we have been saying on this show every day so far, that the stimulus package has been running into opposition. Even the child health insurance program ran into opposition. Do you think, Ronald, that there is support for the kind of educational policies of the Obama administration that will help make a difference?
I think that support can be generated. I think right now people don't really understand what they're being asked to buy into. I think that there are some things that need to be modified about the No Child Left Behind legislation, such as rewarding schools more effectively for progress. I think there is a lot that we can do to help school and district leaders to understand better how to help teachers to be more effective in the classroom. I think the feds can be effective as a convener to help spread good ideas across states in this. And so I think the vision of what we actually intend to do differently in education has yet to be really spelled out and publicly shared. And I think once that vision is shared and people develop a sense that it will make a difference, I would expect there to be quite a bit of support for funding it.
Well, Jane, Ronald mentioned No Child Left Behind, which we were going to mention as well, a program, of course, implemented by the former president. Do you think that that No Child Left Behind as a policy under the Bush administration has positioned the new president and put him in a better or worse position to try to implement the kind of reform in education that will close this achievement gap?
Well, you know, people disagree about this, but I actually feel like No Child Left Behind was a step in the right direction in that it shone a bright light on achievement gaps. It said to school districts, you can no longer report aggregate statistics. You have to report results separately for black children, white children, Latino children, for separate groups. It didn't fund improvements. It didn't impose consistent testing systems. There were lots of flaws in No Child Left Behind. But the one thing it did do was shine a bright light on achievement gaps and, you know, heighten the focus on accountability, which was the direction that the states were going, you know, anyway. So I think it was a useful step in the right direction, and yes.
Yeah, and I would just add, I mean, I do a fair amount of work with school districts, and I've sat in a number of meetings in school districts where people were thinking hard about ways to help students do better in ways that they would not have been doing if not for No Child Left Behind. I was one meeting, one of the math department chairs said, well, my guys have been here a long time. I just don't think how we're going to do any of this stuff any differently. We're just, you know, been there, done that. And the assistant superintendent said, look, somebody from the state's going to be sitting in my office a week from now asking me what we are doing, and I've got to have an answer. And so if you're not going to do this, what are you going to do? And the department chair said, oh, well, okay, you just gave me another reason to, maybe we will.
So that's one of the positive aspects of it. But in terms of the Obama administration, there is going to be a need for time, is there not, in order to make an effective change?
There will be, but they're not starting from scratch in terms of thinking it through. I mean, people have been thinking for the last several years about how they were going to advise the new administration to refine No Child Left Behind. Now, they're going to have to sort through all those ideas, but there are quite a few ideas already on the table about ways to fix the ways that we measure progress and so on.
So we have a place at the moment where we can measure the achievement gap between white and black and others, and at the end of the term of the president, we'll be able to measure again and see whether or not there's been any significant success.
Yeah, these things take time. I would hesitate to either reward or blame any particular president for the amount of progress that happened over the period of 2, 3, even 4 years.
All right.
I think it's more a matter, did we start to put in place the arrangements that give us a reasonable expectation that over time things are going to improve?
All right. We have to stop there because our time is up, but I appreciate both of you coming on. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jane Wildfogel is professor of social work and public affairs at Columbia University. Ronald Ferguson, an economist and a senior research associate at Malcolm Wiener Center for Social Policy. 'Cause I miss the